we got my guy Howie Bell, D-Town's own hilarious comedian. He's gonna come on here a little later on tonight and kick it with us. So shout out to everybody tuning in. This is the Afterthought Podcast live. You know, I gotta do my wellness check. I gotta check in with my people. JP, Tiff, how y'all doing? What's good with y'all? Talk to me. How y'all feeling?
Actually, I'm doing good.
Okay.
I woke up this morning. I said, you know what? Nobody's going to fuck my day up. I'm not going to allow it. I was going to have a good attitude.
Especially with that shirt on, sis. With that shirt on, nobody should be messing with you.
Yeah, don't fuck with me today, please. And today I had a pretty decent day. The energy was good, so I'm hoping that it goes that way every day.
I see you changed the background, and I'm not saying the digital.
I did not.
You changed the stuff on the shelf. On your.
I didn't. It's the same. It's probably just moved over a little bit. This is a big ass shelf.
You know I'm messing with you, sis. You know I'm messing with you.
Yeah, Joe. She just slid to the left a little bit. Like you had a court. We had the center the last time. Now we got the left.
Yes, and our other co-host, Mr. JP. What's going on, brother? How you feeling?
What's good, everybody? I'm feeling blessed. I can't complain at all. You know, just thankful for another day here, just to be able to chop it up with a few of my favorite people in life.
Right.
Get to talking, get to making sure we're doing all right, see how everyone's feeling. Yesterday was a crazy day in sports, so, you know, I was
Tiff, I know you don't watch sports. Tiff, like that. I know you're not a big NBA fan.
Like that? Shit, if I don't have a ticket to a live game, it ain't happening.
I hear
you. If it ain't the Rockets or Kenny Kings, it ain't happening. So don't ask me nothing.
Okay.
When outside open up, we got to take you to a game, Tiff.
Yes.
All right.
We're going to do a team outing.
And guess what? I'll clap when you clap.
Yeah. Right? No, last night was crazy. I know what JP's talking about. The Clippers fell to the Nuggets in a 7-game series, in game 7 actually, and they were up 3-1, and a lot of people were shocked. And right now, you know, it's looking like Laker Nation, JP. I know JP want to say something on that real quick. I know you want to.
I'm gonna just say this.
Go ahead.
As much as I love the Lakers, I love Kobe, I respect the Lakers, I respect the organization, I respect Bron, AD, one of my favorite players.
Gotcha.
I think there's something about this bubble situation that's very different.
Okay, what do you mean?
And I don't think that the disadvantages that you usually have of like having to travel to and from, going to an arena, hostile environment, you don't have any of that.
Right.
You just got guys out there playing ball. So if Denver's young. Denver is developing. They have a good team camaraderie.
So you like Denver?
They have nothing to
do. You like Denver pretty much. That's what you're saying.
I know. I think the Lakers are going to win the series.
Oh, I was about to say. You heard that.
But I don't think it's going to be something where it's like 4 games or 5 games. And even if it is. It's going to be, even if it's 5 games like OKC and Miami was, all of those are close games except for one. They might have lost 34-1, but those are close games. I don't see.
I don't know. Listen, I'm going to just say it's Lakers all day. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spend too much on it because, you know, me and you could go back and forth. But
We can.
Tiff. So y'all think the bubble situation is better? Is that what you're saying? It's better for the energy?
It's better for now. Energy. For the pandemic right now, for the fans, for the, you know.
But you're saying that's more effective as far as there's no hostile environment, so people, players play better? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, because when you play sports, when you go and travel on the road, like your focus has to be tighter because, you know, everyone in there is going to be booing you and talking shit and trying to come for you. So your focus has to be really tight. And then you have to travel, even though it's not, depending on what city you are in, the travel, you have to fly to, fly from, get to
it's
a
different.
Hotel late,
it
get
is.
Up early for a practice. So your body clock, little things like that, that can affect your timing of how efficient you are, can play a factor.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the same location and on the same campus, there's no
have
to get on a plane. mm-hmm. having to know I could go to this arena where they know they boo me, or
they just in a hotel chilling, pretty much. They just sit still.
So, you know, all of those little things that can kind of help or hurt a team aren't there. It's just we just play in a neutral site.
I wanna ask you this, Tiff. You know, we were on last week, and you know, I was talking about the Gladys versus Patty situation. Shout out to everybody on the Facebook, Danielle, Christina. I want to ask you, Tiff. I know you watched it. I had a show that night, and I saw Twitter. I know we were texting. I know you was telling. I saw the punches coming. But in your opinion, who did you have winning that?
Don't ask me. I don't ever pick a winner. Okay. I don't ever pick a winner on a versus battle except for Teddy Riley and
Babyface.
And Babyface. I don't pick a winner. It was just a vibe.
Okay.
Patty kicked those shoes off, though. I told you she was going to kick them shoes off.
You did say that. You said she kicked them shoes off.
And Gladys sang your song two times.
Yes, she did. Christina on the check-in said Patty. She said she had Patty.
Patty did the two-step.
Patty was moving out there.
She dance like a grandma, right? She dance like a real grandma, not these new grandmas.
She's a real grandma. That's right.
She was moving. And I saw that Gladys had the glitter onesie on.
The sequins. Gladys looked good.
That was fire.
They both 76. I'm like, oh, my God.
I was waiting. You know, I didn't see the pies. I didn't, you know, we was predicting that she was going to have pies out during the whole battle for those that have eaten or were wondering. At one point, though, I said, is she going to bring out Michael McDonald to this bitch? I think it's is he going to come from behind her chair and start singing, "Keep Forgetting Why You Love Me"? Like, I wasn't sure if that was going to happen. Like,
somebody said Walmart was in the comments cheering.
You said Walmart? Yes, they were. I heard.
Walmart want that paper. They know the holiday.
Walmart want them pies back on the shelves.
They do. Holiday season coming up real soon. We already in the middle of September.
Yes. And with everything going on, shout out to those holding it down during the pandemic. Like I said, here at the Afterthought Podcast, we know everybody's going through it. So support your Black-owned businesses. Support, you know, everything during these times. Trump's supposed to be giving out this 900 in a couple days. I'm not sure if it's true or if it's going to happen. There's supposedly another stimulus check. Biden and Harris, I know you have, you know, some reservations, T, for Kamala Harris, but how y'all feeling about the Biden, Kamala administration coming in the next 4 years? How y'all feel about that?
I don't like no politicians. I don't trust them at all.
Right.
And I don't trust Kamala Harris. She said she was listening to Tupac and Snoop Dogg in her college days. This is the life. Okay. How old is she?
She's up there. She's got to be in her 50s?
So how long was she in college? Which college? For which degree? How is she Tupac?
You need stats on her. She need Google stats on her.
This bitch is a liar.
I need Google stats on her, right?
Realize, if she's in her 50s, probably getting her master's, because that's almost 30 years.
Right. 25. Okay.
Okay, so how old is Tupac? He died, what, 24 years ago?
Kamala Harris is 55 years old. Correction. She's 55. Now, how old would Tupac be?
No, Pac died in 96 and Big died in 97.
Okay.
So Pac died in 96 and we first started hearing Pac albums would be 48. Around.
Pac would be 48, technically.
Yeah. And if we started listening to Pac around 91.
Okay.
Early, like Digital Underground Pac.
Yeah. I Get Around.
She wasn't listening to that.
She wasn't listening to that shit.
She wasn't listening to that shit.
It don't even matter. She wasn't listening to that shit.
We don't even gotta do the math.
She was Tupac was 10 when this bitch
was.
When
she was listening to him.
Come on.
I don't know.
Well, I'm saying this. It's so bad right now that we need change regardless. Like, I'm the type of person, stop talking to me about the next person coming in office. Talk to me about the person that's in office, us trying to get him out. That goddamn kitten heel picture. I know y'all seen that on Instagram of Trump having the kitten heel, that 3-inch water heel. That shit pisses me off every time I see that shit, Tiff. You know.
And Trump went to see Dr. Miami. I seen his booty shot.
Come on, you know what I'm saying?
This nigga here.
You know,
Trump got more ass than me.
With that old 56 long blazer he got on, you know,
and his 27 piece weave he got on.
Toupee. Oh, I can't stand him. He get me so upset when I see him on TV. Because he don't care.
So why, you know? Trump don't just get the Marv Albert and blonde?
Look, Trump said, I just want to be a president because I can. It's a bucket list. It was on his bucket list. He's arrogant. He didn't think he would win either. And then he was like, oh, shit. You know? I think it was just a narcissistic attempt. Like, fuck it. I am president.
No, I think you're right. Shout out to everybody on the check-in. Christina, Janella, Jennifer, Danielle, Mike. What up, baby? We getting ready to have our first guest come on, Miss Lisa Ray, in a few minutes. I know some of y'all was like, Lisa Ray from Ice Cube. I was like, nah, not that Lisa Ray. Not from Blast Club. No. Don't get me wrong. We would love to have Lisa Ray come on, but we got an even doper Lisa Ray. Like I said, writer, poet, community activist, motivational speaker. List goes on and on. She's coming on in a few minutes. Shout out to Patrick on the check-in, Layla on the check-in. This is the Afterthought Podcast. Like I said, I'm rocking out with JP, Tiff. I'm your man, Joe Hill. Before I bring her on, I want to ask y'all this. Have we ever thought about what Halloween is going to look like in a couple of weeks?
Trick or treat,
you know we not. What we doing?
No. I'm staying my ass at home.
You ain't got no kids, JP. You said that quickly.
I might not even go to work.
I'll tell you one
thing.
Everybody got a fucking mask already. So
exactly.
You know what I mean? I do nothing about that.
No. Everybody got a mask. We all ninjas. We all ninjas in a Japanese flick for the next 6 months.
Bro, I don't like Halloween because I still remember when they used to do, like, remember when we was in junior high and high school, when there was like gang initiation and all types of craziness?
Yeah.
Like, hell no. I remember I almost got into a fight when I was in junior high.
Right.
Randomly walking with my boys, my homegirl, and they was throwing eggs from in the building,
That's
I see it. And they started trying to pelt. They hit my man, hit the side of my Gore-Tex. Back in the day when they used to throw all them eggs and do all that other BS.
We used to go to 86th Street to do that shit.
Throwing candy.
Oh, by Pizzeria Uno's.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well.
And BBQ's.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this, y'all. Like I said, shout out to everybody. Everybody on the Facebook live right now. Please share this live. We getting ready to bring our first guest in right now. Start clapping right now. Let me get a nice little intro music for her. Something like, you know. Ooh. That's right, everybody. Afterthought Podcast, here we go. The talented writer, dope person. Make sure you share this live too. Christina, Patrick, Layla, I see y'all. Ooh. You know, we not as advanced. So we have some music. Here she goes. There she goes, beautiful. Clap it up for her right now. Make some noise.
Lisa.
How are you? What's going on? First of all, all the melanin popping. You look well. Talk to us.
Thank
introduce
you.
Yourself. How you feeling? You know, our wellness check. What's going on?
Okay, wellness check. Okay, yes. Today's a good day. Today's definitely a good day. I'm doing well. My name is Lisa Angel Ray. Keyword there, angel. Okay, yes. And you'll get it a little later on into the interview. I'm actually doing well. My health is good, thank God. No COVID, anything like that. No cold. I'm okay. So I really can't complain. And that is the most important thing, you know, staying healthy and safe. So I am that.
That's what's up. I mean,
that's good. Excellent.
I think that's always, you know, the check-in. We always running and going. And it's always important to stop and just say, how are we doing? Are you good? You know, so I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You know, you're an inspiration, sis. You know, for those that don't know, I got to meet Miss Ray in the comedy game, you know, performing for her. And I don't know if you knew this, but my mixtape that I put out in April, there's a clip called Grandmothers Used to Be Reliable. That is from the church show that I did with you. And yes,
that's hot.
Yes, it was hot. That was a big track. Hot. That was so yes, getting to meet you and meet you through Kenny Williams, you know, yes. Comedian extraordinaire with 30 years in the game. But yeah, talk to the people about you know, some of the stuff you do, and let's jump right into getting to know you a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm gonna talk a little bit about my history, you know, with comedy. Yeah. I've been promoting comedy since about 1989, along with my partner Diane Gibbs.
Yes.
We used to do it in a little place called Echoes in Queens. I live in Queens, light skin, live in Queens.
Yes. So
we started in a little spot called Echoes, and then we moved to a place called Manhattan Proper. Mm-hmm. And we ended up being there forever. So much so that the Proper just closed about 2 years ago, and we did our final send-off, if you will. Drew Frazier was there, Dean Edwards. They did it right up on us. We've had hosts like our first host was Bill Bellamy. We worked with the late Monteria Ivy. We've worked with everyone from Mike Epps to Tracy Morgan, actually helped jumpstarting their careers. Talent was right there with us in the beginning, and he was like, he was young, he was up and coming, and he was doing his thing hosting. And you know, talent is the host with the most, right?
King of New York.
Everybody knows that. So we've been around a long, long time. And nobody goes to Queens, right? But everybody came to Queens, from Madonna to Tupac to the New York Jets, the Giants, Puff Daddy, whatever his name was back then. I mean, everybody that was anybody. Bobby Brown, of course, LL Cool J. Mm-hmm. Remember Onyx?
Onyx. Yes, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, they took it back.
Get slammed in a party.
Yes.
So we had people like Cheryl Underwood come through. Hope Flood. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So anybody came through the Proper. And the Proper was known as like a mini Apollo. So, you know, great, great history there. And actually I was talking to my brother, Kamel, tonight, and we were talking about, you know, there should definitely be a documentary, because we were women that were making it happen for real, for real. You ask any of the comedians that were around back then, and even some that have, you know, come and gone, if you will. God, why can't I think of his name? He won a contest, and he passed some years ago. Anyway, it'll come back to me. But you know, some greats, definitely some greats.
Go ahead.
Because I can go. So that's my history, comedy. But prior to comedy, I had a couple of records out. I had a group called Delicious. Shout out to Tracy Sims and my sister Maria Ray. The group was Delicious, and we were on a label called Rooftop. Remember Rooftop Rollerball back in the day up in Harlem?
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
so Rooftop Records, we were the first female group.
Oh.
And Teddy Riley, speaking of Teddy Riley, Tiff. No match to Babyface, of course, we know that. But But Teddy was a musical genius in his own right. Yeah. And he produced our song. So we have, you can look it up when you get off, because I know y'all right. are. I'm just saying, right. I know y'all
I
are.
Am. Stop playing.
It, no, one, of songs, one of the songs is Stop yeah. Playing and, oh God. Oh God, why can't I think of the other song? Somebody's gonna kill me, but it'll come back to me.
It's okay.
But Delicious was the name of the group. Originally, well, see, I ain't gonna tell you the history because there's gonna be a documentary coming out about Rooftop Records, about Rooftop yes. and Gusto Wells. So we are in it. Right. So you're gonna see us before, you know, as right. young right. young girls and as mature, seasoned women like I am today.
Wow, that's so dope. That's
so yeah. So dope. So we got some history, you know, definitely some history in that. So that's how I got into promotion because I wanted to be respected as a businesswoman.
Right.
That was very, very important to me. So that's how I got into the whole comedy thing. And fast forward, I don't know if you want me to jump all the way till today, but or how I got into poetry.
Hold on, before you get to the poetry, and mm-hmm. do y'all want to jump in there, Tiff or JP, ask anything about
oh, please.
Anything? Feel free to jump in yes. there at any time.
I don't have a question yet. I'm just listening.
Okay,
I'm
yeah. Here. I mean, mm-hmm. so yeah.
No, ask some questions.
We are. We getting this.
I'll make this easy for you.
I'll wait until you get to the radio part because I have some questions about that.
Got you.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Jay.
No. Me and Tiff were thinking along the same lines. If you're going to wait, I was going to ask, we could discuss about the radio because okay. talking about being in the group, we talked about talent being the host with the
okay.
I remember his days when he first started on 98.7 KISS FM. Mm-hmm. So back in at that time, I'm just curious, like, was there a moment like when you guys first heard your song on the radio? Who
absolutely.
Was DJing? Like, what station oh, were you on? Because you know, what classic
wait,
New York.
1986.
It's a flex.
Let me tell you something. Okay, so back in the day, we did this a show with TKA, who's now doing that whole freestyle thing now, right? TKA, Val Young, remember Seduction for My Love?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I don't remember oh, yeah. that. I'm yeah, not yeah, dating yeah. myself.
Nah, you're not.
Sweetheart.
Linden Boulevard on the check-in. Linden Boulevard on the check-in.
All right. Rainy Davis.
Sweetheart. The money out here.
Go ahead.
Who else was on the show? We had, okay, Red Alert was one of the hosts, so he brought us up. And we had, okay, back in the day, there was a VJ or a DJ, whatever, Chuck Leonard. He was on 98.7 Kiss, right, old school. I'm going mm-hmm. old school now, old school. Yeah. I want to say Bugsy was there, and Bugsy has been in my life since I was like 15 years old. We're family, you know. I go back with some of the greats like Larry Smith, who produced Run DMC and Jam Master J and Houdini. I'm hip hop at heart. I'm straight hip hop.
Definitely are, sis.
I love
okay,
it.
At heart. Hip hop and now and gospel. Now.
Yes.
But I'm old school. For real.
Yeah.
So Chuck Leonard and Red Alert brought us out back then. And we opened up and it was amazing. It was at Roseland. It was packed.
Oh, that's
it was
fire.
Like,
that's
oh my
fire.
God.
Oh, I could so, only imagine a vibe.
So that was the show. And we you know, people are looking up at us and I'm reaching out, touching their hand, you know, like I was whatever.
Yes.
But it's something, I mean, I'll never forget that. It was really a great experience.
Yeah.
And when we first heard it on the radio, it was 1986, I want to say. And my father was in the hospital. He just went to the hospital. I'll never forget. And Tracy had called and said, Lee, we on the radio. And I wow. went, I think this was like in the Frankie Crocker days and all of that. I can't really quite
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like a make it or break it.
Yeah.
And... so when I got to the radio, I was like, let me hurry up and get it on, you know, dialing the radio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I get in the station and I heard, we don't like it. My heart dropped to my feet.
Oh.
But it said, but 90% or 97, whatever percent said, we like it. And then they played it again. Boom, boom, boom.
And it was bobbing.
All the neighbors was blasting it, doors open. We was like,
oh my God. I can't imagine that. That's
it.
Probably like the most surreal moment of your life, right?
What?
Wow.
Oh my God.
My thing is, I think this is a good transition too. I think from doing that, you know, I've gotten to know you as a speaker, somebody that's done radio. How did you transition to the poetry and, you know, kind of stepping into that light as an artist?
Okay.
More so too.
Okay. Well, let me say this. I started writing poetry when I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The first poem I wrote was "I Wish I Could Be a Star," ironically, right?
Mm.
And I remember it. I wish I could be a star. I would travel near and far. I would travel here and there. I would travel everywhere. Sounds like Dr. Seuss. If I was a star, I'd sing beautiful songs of happiness I'd bring. So that's when I was 7 years old. And then I ended up publishing something. I was in a program at Queens College for gifted children when I was 12.
Mm.
And then I kind of put it down. I would always write because I'm the kind of person that if I'm very outspoken, and if I can't speak to you, if I have something I want to say to you and you're not a person that necessarily is a talker and wants to talk, I'm going to write it down. So maybe in a letter, maybe and even my letters are poetic. I mean, it may be in a letter, it may be in a poem.
Right.
And that's, but I put it down. I did it for me. If I kept it up, I probably would have been Maya Angelou, for real. Me and her would have been like, buddies. I'm just saying.
Oh, at 7 years old, you manifested your life.
Right.
It came full circle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how it came full circle is in 2012, and I was doing comedy back then. I had a big show, August 7th, 2012. Maybe August, that Sunday.
She the date. She remembered that date.
Must have been the 5th. I do remember. Must have been the 5th. And my girlfriend, Lisa Smith, and I, who I grew up with, we went to Manhattan proper for karaoke on a Sunday night. So I'm singing, but I'm in such pain with my back. I can't stand up straight. And by the end of the night, I was still in that pain. So much so when I came in the house, I was holding on to the wall. It felt like my back was going to crack in half.
Mm. Why?
And I was like, so then she said, if you're in this pain by tomorrow, I'm taking you to the hospital. Hence, the next day, I couldn't stand up straight. Took me to the hospital. 5 days later, I got screws and rods in my back.
Mm. What happened?
They removed this. So a few months prior to that, I had seen a doctor. I was having some pain, and I sprained my ankle and never got better. And I ended up with something called a drop foot. And I was still wearing heels and still able to get around, but I had a little bit of a hiccup in my walk.
Right.
And so the foot doctor told me, oh, it's coming from your back. Let's send you to a specialist. I go to the specialist. And the specialist says, if you do not get this surgery, you're going to be crippled. And I'm like, what? So the night, fast forward, the night when I'm doing karaoke and I'm having that back pain, I'm like, it's happening. What the doctor
right, you start getting
I ignored him because right. I was like, whatever. Because, you know, this is not going to happen.
Right.
But I'm thinking, it's happening. And so I had screws and rods in my back. August 7th, they're rolling me out on a gurney, and my girls, Tanice and Tavia, were at the proper holding it down for me. Talent's hosting, it's packed, standing room only, and that was my last show. Mm. And I wasn't there, packed. They calling me, I'm literally on the gurney, and they're like, Lisa, so-and-so. I was like,
oh,
I'm
no.
on a gurney. I'm on a gurney. I'm just, they couldn't even, surgery was like 3:30. I didn't come out back to the floor until 8:30 at night.
Go ahead, Jay. I see you.
I wasn't getting up for whatever reason. My pressure kept going up and down. I don't know. But that was the beginning of stuff to happen that I would never even imagine. So I started working, and I was walking with a brace, and I must have fell over 20 times in one year. I said, something is wrong. I've never been diagnosed with anything. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. I mean, I would just be walking and I'd go, bam, fall.
Wow.
So I have a file about this thick
right.
of tests, EMGs, nerve tests, MRIs, and seeing all these doctors, and no one could tell me. They were like, did you have a stroke? I said, no, I didn't have a stroke. You tell me. Like, what?
Right.
So after, say, 8-9 years of me having just subtle symptoms, in 2016, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Mm. Oh.
So you guys can't tell from this part of me, but when Joe knows, you know, I walk with a cane. I have a brace, something called the AFO brace.
Yeah.
And honestly, for 2 years, I wouldn't even go out. First of all, if I did go out, I wore long dresses down to my ankles so you wouldn't see the head on the brace. You know, right. I felt very self-conscious because, I mean, I literally could run in a pair of 4-inch heels and now suddenly I could barely walk. I could barely put on a shoe. So right, I wear sneakers most of the time. And after about 2 years, one day I just said, you know what? Bump this. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live. I'm not going to sit here and feel self-conscious and feel like people are watching me. I'm going to live. And I mean, a lot of what helped me with that is my faith in God, because
amen.
I know I stand on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for hope in the future. I know that there is purpose in my pain because I'm pushing past my pain into my purpose so I can help somebody else, because I know that had this happened to somebody else, it would have killed them.
Powerful.
But for me, listen, I still show up, I get dressed, I go to black tie fairs, I put on my gown, I get my hair done, I'm like, look at me from the ankles up.
Listen, but Lisa, when I seen you, I want to go to JP and I want to give Tiff a chance to jump back in here. When I saw you in Queens pre-COVID, you definitely had the cane. And you definitely was working through it. You know, I could see you. I could see it in your face. But I think, you know, the strength of a woman is amazing. And I think you're definitely doing that. But definitely, I know y'all want to jump in here. Jay, I know I saw you wanting to say something.
I did. But what you just said, Lisa, just touched me so much. As someone who has family members who also have MS, what I wanted to ask you, because I've completely gone left, but I think this is so important to highlight.
Okay.
The support system within the MS community, mm-hmm. I think, is some of the best, and I've seen it continue to grow throughout many years, mm-hmm. how we've seen a level of understanding about medications, the way MS can affect different people in different ways, mm-hmm. how to check, like, understanding how the lesions work, what yep. other side effects may or may not happen as a result of medications or mm-hmm. just the weather changing, and people having to be mindful of that. So if you could like expound on that just a little bit, because I think it's just so important, and I would love
to. And then Tiff, you jump in there too.
So this is what it is, right? So first of all, stress for a healthy person is no good. So stress for someone who has multiple sclerosis can cripple you, can put you in a wheelchair, can get you to a point where you're not able to walk. And I'm gonna tell you, I have a frozen shoulder now. My right side is weak. This arm that I'm lifting now is weak. Mm-hmm. I'm left-handed though, so thank God I could knock somebody out with this. but no. In all seriousness, I have good days and bad days. There's times that I feel great and I can go. But when I don't feel good, I have to shut it down. I have to rest. You have to, gather your strength so you can function another day. And which means many times I've had plans with my girlfriends or whatever to go out, and then at the last minute, my legs are like lead and I'm like, I have to cancel. And so I started sharing with my besties, this is what I'm going through, because I'm not flaking on you.
Right.
Because I'm not a flake. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, you have to learn how to listen to your body.
Yes,
right.
Now, there are medications. I'm on this medication called Tysabri. In fact, on Friday, I get an infusion. I get an infusion every 6 weeks, and there's no cure for multiple sclerosis, but it's supposed to prolong the disease so it doesn't take, you know.
Right.
But let me just say this. I'm not trying to stay on medication. I am on a mission. I really have strong faith in God, and I'm trusting God. And so my goal is to really understand my body and listen to the Holy Spirit. And God has put me in this situation because he trusts me. And it's not about me. And I have written a book of inspirational poetry. I've written a play, and it's about overcoming adversity and believing in yourself, because whatever situation you're in, wherever you are in this multiple sclerosis world, whether in a scooter, wheelchair, cane, or not, because sometimes there is no presentation.
Right.
Right. Whatever your situation is, God has put gifts in you. You have a gift for the world, to share with the world, to empower them, to encourage them, and let them see that you can overcome anything. I don't care what it is. I am determined. Mm. I ain't got to wear no 4-inch heels no more. That's okay. But I'm going to put on, put on a little heel. But I'm working with, I'm getting ready to get back with my personal trainer, because physically you have to keep moving, because your joints stiffen up. You become stiff. You have, and it's all about a mindset. You have to have a positive attitude, a positive mindset, as with anything. And I am a fighter. I've always been a fighter. And you can probably see the energy in me. This is like
yes.
Like what you see is what you get. I'm sure my friends are gonna be like, well, you off the chain.
Yeah, your friends is on Facebook right now. Shout out to Karen, shout out to Christina, everybody, Valerie, Latoya, everybody in here showing love. Shout out to you. You already know that.
Yeah.
I wanna give you your flowers. But I know Tiff, I know you wanna jump in there, Tiff. I see you over there. Anything you want to say, jump in there. Go ahead.
I just want to say that you are such an inspiration to hear your whole backstory and to now hear this and to see, you know, as a woman, we deal with so much just as women in general, you know, healthy women, black women, and to know that you are dealing with this, this condition, and you have so much power, so much vigor, and it is just like, you inspire me, because every day, you know, I struggle with my own stuff, like anxiety and depression, and I'm getting old, so my joints are stiff. I'm ready to go take an MS test right now. You know what I mean? But you are so inspiring, and your story is so powerful, and, you know, you're beautiful. There's a comedian. I forget her name. I can't think of her name. You might know her. She struggles with MS too, and she has a whole bit about having sex, and her MS starts acting up, and it's just so funny. And it's funny that, you know, you have
Is it Pretty Ricky? Is it Pretty Ricky? It's not Pretty Ricky. From,
yes, Pretty Ricky. Yes, Pretty Ricky. She has about, you know, when her MS start acting up while she's having sex and stuff like that. So
I can't speak to that because I don't do those things.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saved. And so
amen.
I can't speak to that. Forget about sex. I want to run. I want to walk. I want to feel good.
There you go, you know, sis. Yep. Well,
so when you said you wrote this poem at 7 years old,
yes,
right, and then you talk about your life up until today, and you just, that was a manifestation. I was just talking to my daughter this morning, and she's talking to me about shifting and energy and frequency and manifestations, and she's been talking about manifestations and manifesting a new life and a future for herself. And how she does it at the beach, and she's 16. So to hear her talk like this, and then I'm talking to you, and at 7 years old, you did a whole manifestation in your poetry and didn't even know it. And everything came full circle. It's just like, God wants me to hear this. So I'm glad to speak to you today, to hear your story.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's not about me. It is about the God in me. You know, that's not a cliche. That's real. And I can tell you because I have experience.
That's,
you know,
a fact.
When I was younger, you know, listen, I was at the disco fever. What? At the fever. I was a fever believer. I was. You know, I was up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. I was from Queens. But I mean, like I said, hip hop. And you can, people have a misconception. They think if you're a Christian or and you're living holy that you're boring or your life is boring. And that's not true. I have a purpose. There's a purpose in my life. And I love people. And my goal, especially the old people, but young people, particularly now, and why I'm working in education now. And I went from being a graduate admissions counselor at NIAC to being a engineer, operator, announcer at York College Radio, which
right.
I absolutely love.
I was on that show. It's fun. I love it. I love you on
Laugh
that.
Therapy. Yeah, Kenny yes. and I have started our own show called Laugh Therapy. I mean, we've been on hiatus because of this COVID thing, yeah. but I am now doing more production. But I love it because I'm sharing my knowledge with the young people, empowering them, and they're making it happen. They're doing it, and they're doing big things, and I love it. I love it. I love it. To be able to share your knowledge, your wisdom with someone, and they take it and run with it.
Yeah,
it's a blessing. It's a blessing. So there's still value in my life.
Yep.
And that's just one piece of it.
I think what you're doing is for me, it's inspiring. Like Tiff said, like, you know, I mean, I do this show because I'm inspired by, I think, people that have done things before me. A lot of the experiences, you know, come and step into that light through that. So for me, meeting you and being on here, and I got you for another like 5 or 6 minutes. Give me one.
Wait, wait.
Go ahead.
Here, Lisa, here's your flowers.
Right? Yes. Exactly. Yes. I want to say this. You're a poet. Give me one piece. If you got one. And okay. Give me one
two.
Right now. Because
you got two. She said she got
two. All right, so
two.
Go ahead. Got two.
Okay.
Give us two.
This,
go ahead.
This one, let me do this one. This one, I'm going to start off with this one. This one is called Pause.
Okay.
And pause is basically what the whole world has been, you know, we were put on pause,
yep.
right? Yeah. Because of this COVID-19, right? Okay, so my life has been put on pause in a sense. To get closer to God, yes, get closer to Him. Mm. My days are now longer than my nights, and I'm happy at home without a fuss or a fight. Now I spend quality time with Him at home. It's truly a blessing having Him with me. I'm not alone. I grow in Him daily. God builds me up, providing all my needs and strengthening me with His love. I'm chasing after the heart of God, pursuing my purpose for His kingdom, trusting in His Holy Spirit for discernment and wisdom. My faith is in Jesus and continues to increase while I go through the trial. My God gives me peace. And in these trials, there's joy in my heart while the Master's at work perfecting what He started. So trust me, it's good to follow His laws. And I'm happy He's keeping me while my life is on pause.
Can I get the poetry?
Y'all supposed to do poetry.
I need the snaps in the comments. Before she go any further, I need the snaps. Afterthought Podcast. We just got a live performance from the OG Lisa Ray. I need some. Yes, give me them hearts in them comments. That's right. Shout out to Rima, Terrence, Patrick. Come on, sis. Go ahead.
It's my family.
Fire.
So thank you. Thank you so much. And that's all God. God gave me all of these poems. Let me tell you. And I have a book. It's a book of inspirational poetry. It's called Angel's Heart Guided by Light. That's the angel. Here's my logo, y'all. Angel's Heart. Angel's Heart Guided by Light. And I recently started a foundation over COVID. Over the, you know, being home, Angels Hearts for Hope Foundation to bring awareness to multiple sclerosis. I wrote a play called Life is Poetic. It's about overcoming adversity. I've been doing speaking engagements, but it's getting ready to be on and popping for real, for real, for real.
It is.
I'm going to provide scholarships for our community, for people who are underserved. So whether you're a parent like myself, when my son was graduating high school, who was afflicted with multiple sclerosis, I'm going to provide substantial scholarships. I'm putting it out there for our community, for the parent that has MS or for the young person that has MS and is going to college. I want to do that for them. And I want to talk about it in our community because we don't talk about it. So that's my mission, really quick. I also am the vice president of communication for a nonprofit called One World Fest Global. And you can look that up. as well. And it's about bringing other cultures together, understanding that as much as we're different, we all want the same things.
Yeah.
So we are working on a global fest next year to bring different cultures under one umbrella.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing that through food, music, language, and art and technology. And I wrote a poem called One World, which speaks about, again, what we're dealing with in with the social injustices. Because let me just say it real quick.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. My complexion shouldn't matter, nor the language that I speak. Mm. And you shouldn't judge me on my ethnicity. You see, I was created to be unique, outside beauty reflected on the inside of me, full of love and passion to be the best that I can be. I appreciate you, so why not appreciate me? We are all one world, a part of the human race. Wherever you go, whatever you do, there will be things you don't want to face. One world, no hate, limitless in love. One world, embracing our sons and daughters. Resist useless chatter. One world of peace, because all lives do matter. So let's use wisdom, knowledge, and understanding too, because one world represents me, and one world represents you. We are all one world.
You better like come that. On. You better hold on. Y'all better clap I it like up. That. Hold on. Give us yeah. some more love today.
Buy the book. It's on Amazon. Buy the book and you can get it from me.
Let me say this.
What's the name of the book again?
Yep, I was gonna say that. What's the name of the book?
Angel's Heart. Guided by Light. And listen, my hashtag
Guided by Light. Yes. All right.
Let me set you up. I need everybody in the comments right now. On Facebook, shout out to the Afterthought Podcast. We are live. I'm with
JP. Shout out to the Afterthought Podcast.
We got Lisa Ray. She's on here right now. She's been kicking it with us. I need y'all to follow her. Tell them your website, by the way. Tell them where to find you.
Okay, so I have a website, angelray.org, and it's a blog, and you can learn about me and my story and I put different things. I write brand new poems and put it in there, or I speak about things that are close to my heart. I am on Instagram, @TheReal_LisaRay on Instagram.
Yes.
And on Facebook, I'm Angel Ray on Facebook.
There it is.
Yeah, the book is on Amazon and you can contact me directly.
I'm gonna order a book when we get off of here. But did you say your son was afflicted by MS too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't even want to ask that question, but no. I thought that's what
no,
I
No, it's all love. Me. It's all love.
No.
I'm going to say this. Okay. I'm going to do this. We were talking about it before the show. The whole crew at the Afterthought, we got to come on your show, whether it's York College. I know you do the Zooms as well. I know you do the platforms virtually. We would love to come on your platform and show love and reciprocate that back, you know?
So I would love to have you guys. And this is the thing. So the show that we have at York, it's YC on Purpose. And that is hosted by Mr. Jeremiah Duffy. He is a journalism major and he's phenomenal. And these are young people that go to the college and they're doing a phenomenal job. So I would love to speak to them and have you guys come on as guests on their show. They're doing great things.
Definitely.
Shout out to your college, and everybody continuing their education. The goal is to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
The goal is to keep moving forward.
I just want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody checking in. All the fans, all the people that you know in here, people, the real supporters that really follow what you do. And you know, it, at the end of the day, it's opening up to people that I know. So I really appreciate you taking out the time, on a late night, you know, it's late, you know, I know you, you know what I'm saying? But I thank you for coming on. I need y'all to give her a big, warm, just show her some love right now. Start clapping, throw her up.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys. Yes. Please continue to share about my story.
Yes.
Send them to my website. Send them to my Facebook. Send them to my Instagram. I'm accessible. I'm getting people reaching out to me that have been afflicted with MS who are encouraged by my story, and it's a blessing.
I'm going to reach out to you because I have some family members who dealt with this very similar, same treatment, working to do things within the community as well. And the better we pool our resources and the more we know, the better we get to a solution to help us be great. So you'll get a message from me soon, Lisa.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. Shout out to MS Finest. That's a group.
Oh, yeah.
I meet with in Cambria Heights. And they're doing Zoom right now. But, you know, I can't wait to get back with them. Some of them are on Facebook Live right now, tuned in. Shout out to MS Finest. Love you guys.
Yo, Lisa, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It was nice.
Lisa, we're going to be in touch, the whole crew. We're going to follow up.
We will.
We're going to go dancing. We're going to go dancing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Yes,
have a good night.
God bless.
Lisa Ray, show her some love. Come on, y'all.
Yes.
Clap it up, podcast. Clap it up for her. That's how we doing it, y'all.
Wow.
Yeah, that was dope.
My God. She's amazing.
She is.
Her energy. I feel like I need to go do some shit. She's doing a whole lot of stuff. You know what? I'll be right back. I got some other shit I gotta go do while I'm doing this.
I think it's dope. What you think, Jay?
She's like Beyonce.
I'm inspired. And yes. You know, Joe, it just only reinforces why we're so blessed to have this platform to continue to inform, educate, inspire. Yeah. And we realize that so many people who we come across, our worlds are way more similar than they are different.
Yes.
And if we learn to start appreciating that and understanding that, hopefully this world might be a better place. And hopefully the energy that we can give you as hosts with our guests can help you understand and see that as well.
And don't it feel good just to connect with dope people? You know, yes. And shout out to everybody.
Her energy is everything.
And I think for us, you know, our energy is amazing. This is the Afterthought podcast. When I tell you we are cooking with fish grease, I'm telling you, we are here. So let me set this transition up right. I got a nice intro. I got a nice intro for this next guest. But before I do that, make sure you follow us. We on anchor.fm. If you want to sponsor the show, $1 a month, $5 a month. We got two sponsors right now. Check it out. anchor.fm/the Afterthought podcast. Sponsor the show. We got another guest coming in right now. This brother right here, what more can I say? This is one of Detroit's funniest. You see them on BET Comic View, BET everything. He's been on Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio. Bad Boys of Comedy Zone, Mr. Howie Bell is coming in right now. Oh, whoa, hold up.
Hey, snap it. What's going on?
Hold up. I got the theme song for you. Howie Bell is in here. Ladies and gentlemen, give him an Afterthought podcast welcome right now. I'm with the gang. Hey. I just want to say this. You look like you just fired two niggas in the background. are you in the middle of a meeting? What's going on, Pippin?
Well, you know, that's actually my audience, nigga.
So, okay.
we trying to social distance.
Yes, he ain't got on no socks. Come on. How are you?
They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about what's going on with this right here. We just trying to fit in when we can. I said, why don't y'all just come in? They were like, we got shit to do. I was like,
oh, God.
That's his audience.
That's funny. How you feeling, brother? How you feeling, brother? How you feeling?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Can you zoom in just a little bit? I can't see you.
You can't see me?
No. You seem so far away.
Do I? What about
I put the spotlight on. There we go. You got that. Every time I see you, you always looking healthy. You always taking care of yourself. You got the Carl Herrera Action Jackson fro right now. from the Predator. You know, you my nigga. You always keeping it Triller. But for those that don't know, comedian, actor, extraordinaire, writer, dope dude. I've known this brother for a minute now and just... Yeah. How you feeling? Talk to the people. Give me a wellness check here at the Afterthought. We got to check in first before we get to business. How you feeling? Yeah. How you living?
Hey, look, I'm good, as you can tell. You know what I'm saying? I'm at one of my various dugout hideout studios.
Right.
You know, I'm in Detroit, Michigan without A, the D, baby.
So I'm to the 313. Shout out to the 313.
I've been quarantining with them. We've been together for 3 months. In this room, right here. We all been together right here for 3 months. No, I'm good, man. No, Joe, I'm good, man. You know me, man. I know.
You know I got to make sure you're good. You know, it's yeah, not man. Only.
It's a revolution, brother. You know
what's your shirt say? What's your shirt say? Put it back up there.
It's a revolution right here, brother.
You know,
police reform, judicial reform, financial reform. Let's go. We all in this together. Hey, and this is Chicago shirt.
Word. So I already know. And you know what? I think that's a perfect segue. You know, we want to talk about the serious shit before we get into the funny. Breonna Taylor's family just settled for about $12 million. And I've been dying to ask you this shit all day. You know me. I've been dying to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Real shit. What you think of that? Is that justice? How you feeling about that settlement?
I mean, what is it? It's money, man. What is money? Money ain't shit right now. That shit about to be all over with anyway. So it's
right.
Really nothing. You know what I'm saying? Money is nothing right now.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
$12 million? All right. So and what now?
Mm-hmm.
That's nobody, it, right? We supposed to forget about it.
Yeah, let's forget about it. We just think that they plan us cheap. You know what I'm saying? They plan us cheap, man. You know, we got to stop doing that. You know what I'm saying? I get it. We need the money. You know what I'm saying? But that's still not a lot of money. If you really think about it.
$12 million is not enough money.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money. Not for nobody's life. You know what I'm saying? And then you think, yeah, they should have got $100 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They get basketball players of that money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So go ahead and give up the real money. If you're going to give up some money, give the real money up.
Yep.
That wasn't nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
yeah.
So what do I feel about it? I don't feel nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just felt like they, you know, they played us cheap and they got over and they went for it. And, hey, that's that. You know what I'm saying? And no convictions, no arrests, no
nothing. That's the justice. We need a conviction.
Yeah.
Right.
We need a harsh sentence.
I agree. I'm holding out hope.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm holding out hope that we can still see that because while this was a civil case, there still needs to be a legal, like, there still needs to be not just the civil, we need the real legal. We need the judiciary system to come down really hard, show that justice will be served. We need to see that these politicians or local DAs are not afraid to bring up charges against their buddies in those local police forces because that justice still needs to be served. And there's no way any dollar sign, like you all said, will equate to it. And it doesn't mean that just because they received the dollar sign that the energy should stop. We still got to keep going. That's all.
I'm gonna say this.
We talking about killing the beast, man. It's hard, man.
Yeah.
We were going y'all trying to kill the beast. We going in there. You ain't no police telling on police and doing all that stuff. Everybody keep talking about even this shirt right here. I'm doing it for support, man. It's not really going down like that. How people think it's going down. It's a war, man.
I want to ask you.
Hey, man, that's why I'm having fun, laughing, and having
exactly.
You know, brother.
First of all, shout out to Howie with the BBQ Texas size drink from BBQ.
Yeah, he
has
a BBQ drink.
You talk to one of my audience members. What did you put it?
You know that's
okay. Weed juice. And
shout
absolute.
Out to y'all.
Yeah. Weed juice and absolute.
We juice an absolute.
Listen,
oh my God!
I want to ask you this, Howie. You know, Tiff and I go back and forth always about Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. Is it better? Is it worse for the country? We're not sure yet. We got to see. But I want to know from your opinion. How do you feel about that administration and what they're trying to do in terms of change? Because I know you are big on, you know, social awareness and change and everything.
Oh, my God. I'm laughing because I just had this conversation with one of my audience members here. I swear to God, not even fucking 20 minutes ago. We just had this conversation. Man, this is crazy. I don't feel nothing again. I don't feel nothing. I mean, it's Democrat, Republican, We were just talking about this. There's a fence there, but the fence is invisible for them, but the fence is only visible for us.
Mm.
So they're both the same. So it's just a matter of who's, you know, winning the championship that year. They're all in the same league.
Yeah.
We got to stop looking at them like they're different. They're really not. You know what I'm saying? So they're winning the same. So who? What is the matter?
He was trying.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you up, but he was showing me, but I remember. Do you want a covert or overt?
Yes. That's what I said. I like my racist. I'd rather know that you are racist. Don't smile in my face and bullshit around. I like Trump because he say, I don't like Trump. Let's fix that. I like that he say exactly what he feel like saying, whether it's a bunch of bullshit or it's some truth or it's bigotry. He just say whatever. He's not trying to be politically correct.
He does. But let me say this to you. And I told him this. I say, I like overt racism as well. You know, I want to know where you're coming from. But at the same time, when you change the guards, at least you get some kind of crumbs out of it. And I hate to call like that, because that's all we get is crumbs. Anyway.
That's real. That's real.
You know what I'm saying? True. But if you change the guards, at least you get something. And my man was like, well, the crumbs might not, you know, they may fall on the ground. They may fall on your shirt. You may not never get them. That's true. You know what I'm saying? But at least there's something there. If you don't change the guards, I believe it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. I don't think it's going to get any better. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much money you think you got from Trump, or whatever you think you got off the PPPs and all your EIDLs and your stimulus packages and all this grant money you think you got off this shit. Let me tell you something. Don't let that motherfucking shit fool you. Because all that is a facade right there.
That's it.
Hear people say that, I might vote for Trump. I got this bread. I ain't made more money ever. Shut up.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? What's the difference between you making that? What's the difference between zero and 20,000?
Yep.
It's really nothing. I'm gonna tell you something. The only difference between zero and 20,000 is that you get a chance to at least buy yourself something to eat without thinking about it. That's the only difference.
But that's true though.
That's nothing there. That's no money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody get excited about $10,000-$20,000. That's not a lot of money. So let's start figuring out how we're going to move forward and get out of this mind frame that we're in, because we're in a different world right now.
I want to ask you this.
To answer your question, I don't know.
I want to ask you this real quick. First of all, what science classroom are you in right now? What is that, 302 homeroom right now? number two, you know, I know what's some of the things you've been doing to stay sharp? You know, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things and people that have been affected by the pandemic, but just talk to us as a comedian, writer, you know, businessman, what you've been doing to stay sharp?
I work on my comedy show on the radio every week.
Right.
So it's called The Stand-Up Show with Howie Bell, and it's on Marcus King Presents Comedy on Radio. So I do that. I edit my own show and produce it. So I do that every week, and it takes me at least 3 days minimum to do it every week. So I'm always, you know, in the creative mode and always in that frame of mind. You know what I'm saying? But I am doing, with that being said, I am doing some shows too. You know, I'm very careful.
I went
to Chicago a couple weeks ago, you know, and, you know, I'm doing some things, you know, as far as stand-up goes, you know, but more for the most part, I'm doing my radio show and I'm dedicated to that full time and I'm rocking and rolling with that right now. So
Nice. Go ahead, y'all. I mean, you know, I got my co-host here, my squad. You know, you can't do nothing without a team. You know, shout out to the Afterthought Podcast, JP, Tiff. I'm gonna open it up to them. We're big fans of yours as you know, fans of comedy and me being a peer in the game of comedy. But I want to open it up to my co-host to you know, throw their questions out there to you and kind of pick your brain a little bit.
No doubt.
Jay?
How long have you been doing comedy? And what inspired you to do comedy?
Shit. I've been doing comedy since 1900. You know, it's a long time. 1900? 95. I started in 95, and I was always doing plays and stuff like that. I started in the theater first. So, oh, wow. You know, that's what, you know, kind of bounced me into comedy with the help of my brother, Tony Roney, who kind of, you know, sprung me into it. So, you know, so that kind of was that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I jumped into it. I thought it was going to be easy. It wasn't, you know, like everybody else to start doing comedy, you know what I'm saying? So as I bombed my way up the ladder, I started figuring out how to do it, and you know, here we are. So that's shit, 25 years.
But what was your worst bomb? Can you remember the one of your worst bombs?
Oh yeah, I remember every bomb. You don't forget bombs. Who forgets a bomb? Unless you just like one of the people, like you got total blackout. You're like, I'm just not gonna remember this. I was funny because I just told this story not long ago, so it's fresh on my mind.
Was it 20 minutes ago?
Not 20 minutes ago.
Right.
Within the last 30 days. I was in Portland hanging out with Rasheed Wallace, the ex-NBA basketball player. Yeah.
Back when they were the Jailblazers?
back when he was with Portland, back when he was with the Trailblazers. And my boy Ramon Brent, man, which is my dog, man, introduced me to she. Actually, they're coming to Detroit this week, man. It's funny. I'll be talking about them. They'll be in Detroit in a couple of days. But so, you know, hanging out with them, this is like when I first met Rasheed. And Gabrielle Union was there. Anthony Anderson was there. And I was there as the comedian guy. You know what I'm saying? And I only had like a year of BET Comedy View under my belt. So I thought I was, you know, doing something.
You was feeling good. You was feeling good.
Yeah, feeling good, smelling myself. So we went and hung out at this little poetry spot. And Rasheed was like, hey, man, you should go up. You know what I'm saying? You know, all the people there, you know, all that shit. But I'm like, all right, shit, I'll go up. It's packed. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, I'm about to kill this. Poetry spot? You know what I'm saying? So I go up. So it's a guy playing bongos. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like one of them spots with the real African dudes, the real
wolf. Little percussion, all the percussion.
Yeah, super, super conscious spot. You know what I'm saying? So I go up, I'm like, hey, man, what's up? You know, hey, everybody, they're like, yeah, you know, they're like, oh, comedian. You know, they already wasn't feeling it was a comedian. So I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, hey. So my first whatever, one or two bits, bomb. And somebody in the back, it was a girl, I remember very distinctly, was like, oh, man, get out of here. And I was like, shut up, bitch.
You said bitch.
Let me say, at a poetry spot? My man with the bongos stopped playing. He was like, yo, we don't do that here. We don't do that, man. What you doing, man? And then the crowd was like, boo. Man, I left, man. Y'all, they booed me, cut my mic off, everything.
You can't say bitch at the poetry.
Damn, Howie. Yeah, they was ready to cast you out. They was ready to get your ass.
They hated me.
Out of there.
Let me tell you, I walked off the stage. And I was in a, like such a like shell shock because I had never bombed like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my god, in front of those people too. That's made it so deep. And so like, Anthony Evans was like, hey man, come here, man. He was like, drink this. I was like, what is that? He was like, this is a French Connection. He was like, you need it. I was like, all right, man. I struck it, and he laughed. He said, man, what the hell did you just do?
Turn the whole club. That's how you're not supposed to turn the club.
I'm going to tell you something. Anthony Anderson, every time I see him, he brings his story up. Single time. Now, I bombed more than that. I bombed another hard bomb. I bombed on Comedy View before. You know what I'm saying?
God.
Yeah, I bombed on Comedy. I did Comedy View 6 times, and one of them times I bombed. And I went up after Arnaz J.
Oh.
He's got too much energy for me.
Yeah, listen. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to follow that. You know what I'm saying? And he went up, and he did like 30 minutes, though. You know,
oh,
you
God. Like 6-7 minutes. Arnaz J, 30
minutes. Well, he might have done like his whole special, like for BET.
Wow.
And they brought me up, unknowingly, though. And they brought me up right after him. Man, I ate it. You know what I'm saying? I probably got about one or two laughs. But for TV, that was a bomb.
It'd be like that, though. I think that's a part of the game. Yeah. I think.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something, man. While we talking about bombing, I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna let you go.
Go ahead. You good? Go ahead.
But bombing, it develops you in a way that you don't even understand. Mm. Like if you can just put all your bombs, like that shit is like a precious metal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like diamond, nigga. You feel me? Because it's like if you learn it from every experience, because every time you get on stage is different. So I don't care whether you're in the backyard or you at a bar mitzvah, barbecue, on stage, a comedy show. You know, I don't care where you're at, on Zoom. I don't care where you at. If you doing it, you learning every time. So if you do bad, it really teaches you, like, man, nah, you don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
So your bombs, man, are supposed to add up to good things. In other words, and that's
I think you're right. Go ahead, Jay. JP, I know you want to get in there.
I just wanted to ask you, Howie, when you talked about no matter where you go, one thing I've always appreciated about like comedians, entertainers, athletes, etc., there's always different places or cities where you travel where you're like, when I go here, I know the energy here is going. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's like how, you know, when guys say, you know, I want to play in the garden, or Joe would tell you, like, comedians are like, I got to touch that stage at Caroline's when I'm in New York. Like, what cities or what places are most memorable for you? Like I love going there, or when I'm in this place, in this city, or this venue.
I've been doing this shit so long. So many. Slade's in Boston with my man Jonathan Gates.
Oh yeah,
One of the best spots, you know, in the country. Toure had a spot.
Yes, Philly. Shout out to Toure.
Yeah. Warm Daddies. I'm not mistaken. He said they shut it down.
And Punchline Philly. He's out there doing that too.
Punchline Philly, great spot. Great, awesome spot. So many, man. You know, the Indianapolis is always a great city in particular. You know what I'm saying? To go to, they love comedy. Seattle is one of my favorite places to ever do comedy. Shouts out to my man, Nate Jackson, my friend, brother, Root to the Q's. He's incredible, man. You know what I'm saying? He's incredible. And Seattle, just in general, is a great place. Seattle, Tacoma area, Minneapolis, to be honest, Minnesota. It's funny how all this racial stuff and all this stuff jumped off. And then, I just remember going to do comedy there so many times, and it was incredibly great. I thought it was one of the best interracial cities I'd ever been to. But when you go to Minneapolis, like that St. Paul, Minneapolis area, you know, it's real diverse. And it's crazy. It's kind of ironic that all this shit jumped off in that area. You know what I'm saying? I think about a lot of shit as a traveler, especially as a traveling comedian. You
right.
Know, and I've been to a lot of cities. So I'm like, man, I know these places. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These good people. You know, so it's hard when you see, you know, images and things like that, you know, in the media and things like that. It's hard to, you know. But anyway, a lot of cities, man. A lot of great cities. I've been scared of a lot of cities and still did good. Scared to go to Miami. That whole southern Florida area is hard. Hard to do comedy down there. I'd be scared to do comedy down there. Still do good, but I'd be nervous every time I go. So, but that's a great place. Atlanta is a great place to do comedy.
Oh, yeah.
You never know where you're going to end up at, what kind of place there. You can be doing comedy at a strip club in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whole different setup down there.
I got a good question for you. I got two more, and then we're going to wrap it up. I got the first one is, who's the funniest person in your family, Howie? I know you definitely have an inspiration, and you draw from a lot of experiences as a kid through your stand-up, and I followed you. My son has watched your stand-up and think you are fucking hilarious, especially when you talk about and can relate and talk about your son. But who is the funniest person? What do you draw from in your family?
My father, man, rest in heaven, that was my dude, man. He was hysterical. He was one of the funniest guys I knew. You know, he tried to be like Richard Pryor, too, though. He was from that era, too. So he tried to be like Richard Pryor, you know what I mean? You know, now that the older I get, I'm like, he was, my daddy was trying to be like Rich Proffitt. He was funny, man. Mm-hmm. He was hysterical, man. He was one of the most, you know, just a funny guy. You know what I'm saying? Just in general. He always had a story for you. And that was my, you know, I talk about my mean granny. That was her son. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. He was the oldest of four children of the Bell family. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but... Yeah, man, my daddy, man, I could say had the most. But everybody is funny, you know what I'm saying? But, you know. So I just sat back. I looked at my family overall, and they just did a lot of stupid ass, you know what I'm saying? But as a kid, I was like, I remember being a kid, like, I was never going to do that. You know what I mean? I just looked at them, and I didn't know I was going to be a comedian. But I just looked at them like, they look crazy doing that. Why they doing that? You know what I'm saying? And I just,
yeah. So. I got a sleeper bonus question. You know, me and you have been sharing stories for a couple months now, just working together with the concourse panel. And I always ask one sleeper question, something folks didn't know about you. And I need you to tell a story about your baker experience. Back when you was, you know, one of your weirdest jobs, you used to be a baker. down south.
Oh, you talking about when I was working at the Cracker Barrel? Yeah,
you were the Cracker Barrel.
I wasn't a baker. That was if I was the baker,
Cracker Barrel.
My fault. I thought you said you was a baker. My fault.
No, I was a dishwasher.
Okay. It might have been a black baker. It might have been a black baker. Maybe.
Yeah, I talked about a black baker. It was a big, fat black gay guy. That was a and he was a guy that he worked there. Me and him was the only two black people that worked there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they looked at me like I was a punk too. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know. But I was a dishwasher. They made me wash walls and all kind of crazy mess. I remember quitting. Two weeks is all it took for me.
You know, he said 2 weeks.
Because he, you know, he was super racist, man. This is South Carolina. You got to understand. Columbia, South
Carolina. Oh, goodness.
I worked at the Cracker Barrel.
The Cracker Barrel.
South Carolina.
Rolling niggas in.
I remember going to my manager like, hey, man, you think I could, you know, possibly maybe move up to be like a host? You know, something like that. And he was like, nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
With the accent.
Like, yeah, I'm out of here. I remember thinking to myself, I'm better than this.
Fuck this shit.
I was young, but I was like, I'm better than this. I don't need this. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Detroit, so I was a city boy. Yeah. So he probably hated me anyway.
Yeah.
Talk like that, so, you know.
Somebody in the comments said, where do you draw your comedy from? Like, who's somebody you would compare yourself to in your stand-up? I've been getting that a lot. A couple questions in the comments on Facebook. Who's somebody that you draw from or that you kind of align yourself with in comedy, Howie?
Man, I draw from a lot of people, man. A lot of comics. But I'm going to tell you who I used to really love listening to as a kid. It's a few of them. Of course, Richard Pryor. Just no brainer. I would listen to him. Eddie Murphy, too. I've listened to a lot of Eddie Murphy. But who I really started really gravitating to before I even knew that I would do comedy. Of course, I didn't know the comedy. But Sam Kinison. One of my favorite comedians as a kid. Like, I really enjoy him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then I got a little older. I loved Rodney Dangerfield too. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Dangerfields in New York City. That's my home club.
Man, Rodney Dangerfield was so funny to me. He was just incredibly funny. But then the older I got, and I started like kind of listening to more comedy, understood what it was. Robin Harris.
Oh yeah, you look like you're doing the biopic for Robin Harris right now.
Oh man, yeah. Robin Harris is who I really, you know what I'm saying, really looked at. You know,
yeah,
that was my guy right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you remind me of Robin Harris and Bernie Mac.
Thank you. Well, only with the hair with Bernie Mac. Because if I had Bernie Mac is incredible. That's one of the greatest. Ever.
Yeah, this is dope. Like I said, we're on the Afterthought Podcast live. Shout out to everybody on the Facebook. Somebody said, first time seeing you, Howie, with hair. I guess they used to the Michael Jordan Last Dance era edition Howie Bell.
Yeah.
But he's growing it out. You know what I'm saying? He got a pick. I seen him in the picture with a pick the other day.
Yeah, I got a pick somewhere. I don't know where it's at.
Oh, wow.
But yeah,
it's my shit too. You know, this
yeah.
My shit. You know, what I'm saying?
Little salt and pepper, little salt and pepper flow.
A little salt and pepper going. You know.
Yeah. Now I leave it open for anybody that want to ask a question on the Facebook of my co-host Tiff or Jay. Y'all want to ask it before we get Howie out of here. Yeah.
Well, they asked the question because I was gonna ask what comedian does he, you know, that he draws from.
Yo, hold on. I know you watch sports, Howie. You know, a lot of times we write shit on Facebook a little prematurely.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and you should never do that.
Listen, right. Sometimes we are triggered by emotion.
Let me tell you something. I promise you, doing something prematurely is something that you should never do, especially when it's going to go down in history.
Yes.
On social media.
Yes.
You should never do that.
Yes.
Predict you know. All that.
Yo.
Why would one do that?
Here's the funny part.
So what were you saying?
I wasn't even in the crib. Let me say this. For all that's tuned in on the Facebook, this is my guy, Howie. You know, we follow each other. I'm on Facebook, and a lot of times, you know, I wasn't at home yet when the game was on. You know, I was in Cali, and I was on my way, and I saw on your Facebook, by the way you wrote that post on Facebook, he said, and I quote, "The Detroit Lions is killing right now. I'm proud of my team. These niggas is going to the Super Bowl." And I said, "What?" I looked at the scores when I got it. These niggas lost by 7. I said, this is Howie.
They lost by four.
But it was a good game, though. It was a shootout.
Let me tell you something. The Lions gave that game away. They gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yo.
We got a horrible coach. I don't know who loves these New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Want to be coaches, but they all horrible. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fact. I got to ask you this, though, too. School's opening back up. I'm not sure how it is in D-Town with, you know, remote versus, in-person learning. But out here, you know, you get to opt out or opt in to send your kids.
Yeah.
I know you're a parent. What's the situation like with, you know, your kids and how you feel about that?
I got two kids. So I got, you know, one of them that's in school and one of them that's going home. So I'm a teacher right now. So
I'm a technically,
I mean, I was a substitute before, but now if I don't get some kind of certificate from this, damn it, I'm teaching at home, homeschooling, and then I'm a worried parent about COVID as well with my daughter, my other daughter. I got two girls, you know what I'm saying, and one I'm in school. So it's rough.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What do you think about Candace Owens and Cardi B going back and forth with one another?
Ooh. Politician wants the bra.
You don't think nothing?
Nothing, really.
Nothing.
Because both of them to me are, who cares? You know what I'm saying? I
don't know. I mean,
I don't care about either one of them. You know what I'm saying? It's like two people you don't like fighting. You're like,
yeah. Right? You laugh.
I don't care who wins or loses.
Go ahead, Jay.
Question for Howie. Because I know you've been a part of a lot of projects, written, helped produce things, 25 years in the game. If there's a dream project that you could produce, or something that, or a lineup that you would want to be on with a slew of other comedians. Like, what's that for you after having spent so much time in the game? Like, what's that for you?
I would love to do a film with all of the comics that are really currently doing comedy right now. I'm talking about from the open micers to our A-list guys and gals out there.
Oh, that would be nice.
I mean, like that would, right, Tiff?
You know, take it back to like a Car Wash or a Thai movie or any of those other older movies, you know, Harlem Nights or, you know, any of those kind of movies where there's a lot of comics. But more than those, you know, more than that, like every single person from the cashier to the extras damn near are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be dope.
That would be dope. And I think that's the kind of project that I would love to be. That would be a dream project for me. To do, as far as that's concerned. But I also have a project now that I'm working on that. And it's called the Center of
Perfect segue.
Yes, absolutely. It's called the Center for African American Comedy Culture. And so this is the first black comedy museum in the country. It's going to be here in Detroit. And I'm going to also have a showroom in it as well.
Nice.
It's going to be a comedy museum like no other. It's going to be just like any museum you would go to the Smithsonian or any museum, the African American Museum in D.C. Any museum you go to, it's going to be on that level.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things in store for it. Yep. And that's my baby for life, though, right now. Right?
Yes.
And that's been something that's been in the works for a little while, but now it's getting some legs. So that's why I can say it now. You know what I'm saying?
Because, definitely. It's safe. It's safe.
Yeah. So, you know, the Center for African American Comedy Culture. And everybody, you know, that's a part of comedy and a part of anything dealing from actors to our writers to our directors to our performers.
Yes, sir.
Are going to be showcased in this museum.
Nice.
Yo.
Let's go. You I want to visit that.
I was gonna say, yeah, you one of the realest dudes I know and ever met in general. And we still, you know, getting to know more about each other as we go on through this pandemic and life at the same time. I just wanna say thank you, my brother, just for just always rocking with your boy in general. Being on this panel, being on this virtual show, coming on here tonight, taking the time out. How can they follow you? How can they support you? Yeah. How can they stay updated on what you're doing? Tell the people now.
Definitely, man. You guys want to always, every Thursday, on the East Coast, it's from 6 to 7. On the West Coast, it's from 3 to 4. Every Thursday, you go to Dash Radio. You go ahead. You don't even have to download Dash Radio, but you go to DashRadio.com, and you can go there, and you can go to Marcus King Presents Dash Comedy, and my show, boom, every Thursday. The stand-up show, which is the way how we bell every Thursday, consistently.
Yes.
And what time? Is there a specific time?
Yes, Pacific PST. It is 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said that.
Yeah, and on the East Coast, it's from 6 to 7. So it's our
yeah. And it's Pacific time. Yeah. Or Mountain time. Make sure you get your times right too.
Yeah. Make sure to get the times right. But 3 to 4 on the West Coast. You know what I'm saying?
3 to 4 on the West Coast.
That's right.
Got you.
6 to 7 on the East Coast. Every Thursday, though. That's important.
And 6 to 7 on the East Coast.
Every single Thursday. But listen to Dash Comedy anyway. You know, you go to the radio, go to Marcus King Presents Dash Comedy. It's a really good station. It showcases a lot of comics, a lot of our peers are on there. It's a really good show. I mean, a really good station, you know, in general.
Oh, yeah.
So my show comes on every Thursday on Marcus King.
Shout out to you. Shout out to the green screen crew in the back. Just he threw the hands up. They don't smoke like three blunts.
They don't care. This is called, you know, this is the new comedy we're dealing with right now. Yeah, this is our new situation.
Yeah.
They walking in and out, they don't even care.
No respect. That's
but I gotta say this too, man. Big love and shout out to my boy Mike Eshack and Darius Bennett. These are my boys, man.
Shout out
and,
to them.
We're doing this new series called Detroit Vice. That's like a little spin-off.
Hilarious, bro. I've seen
the parody of Miami Vice. And
that's dope. We're on
episode number 2 right now. It's hilarious. Y'all go there. You can go to my Instagram to see it. And that's How We Biz There. HOWIEBIZZELL, Howie Bizzell. And you can go to just Google Howie Bell, whatever. My Instagram will pop up. But you go there, you can check out the episodes of Detroit Vice. Darius Bennett, Mike E. Shaq, and myself, Howie Bell, man. I got to shout
Detroit
that out.
Detroit Vice. I want to watch that.
Oh, it's stupid. He dropped the trailer. I was just talking to Marshall.
Real quick snippets, they real fast.
Yes.
Is it on just IG or I can do it on YouTube?
I don't know if he has them on YouTube yet, but I know you go to IG right now.
It's on his page.
He may have them on YouTube.
I was talking to Marshall. Shout out to Marshall Brandon.
Marshall Brandon, that's my boy.
Shout out to my boy. My boy, OG, mentor in the game, another one. We were just laughing at that. That shit and the Brown Dragon shit. Y'all shit.
Oh, man. It's terrible.
Y'all content.
Brown Dragon is one of the funniest sketches. I actually featured the Brown Dragon on one of my shows.
Yes. That shit is funny.
And you,
but,
and you, Joey, oh man, I got you doing stand up on the show too. So I haven't interviewed you yet, but I got you doing. I got one of your stand up.
Nah, it's coming. I know. I'm in there, man. You know I'm a supporter.
In the game, brother. In the game.
Listen, the game. EA Sports. I'm in the goddamn game right now. You know what I'm saying? Right. No, right. I appreciate you always, and we're gonna always reach out to you to have you a part of anything I'm doing.
Yeah. You talk about my scenery. Are you in the bathroom? Is that a shower?
I'm between the toilet and the sink right now. That's what.
But where's the microphone?
It looked like you like. First of all,
I know y'all like my little Hot 97 setup. I know I'm getting there right now. Listen, these is fairway curtains right now. These is Wayfair curtains right now. You can get these for $19.99. But no. I appreciate you, brothers like you, man, that inspire cats
no
like
doubt,
yourself.
Man. I appreciate
to
you.
Do comedy and fuck with the game and just be ourselves. And I appreciate you. Always, after our podcast, show them some love, y'all.
Appreciate
hey,
you,
Tommy.
Boy. My
Howie.
Appreciate
Let
you,
me
Howie.
Say this. Let me say this.
Appreciate that. Appreciate
this is
that.
Gonna be up on YouTube.
I got the clap. Oh, look, I got a clap.
Oh, your fans love you. Your fans love you, Howie. Your fans love you.
I blew it up.
First of all, your crew got better chairs than you. Those are chairs from Chorus in the background.
they got funeral home chairs back here.
Like, yo,
those are awesome chairs. They're very comforting.
them chairs come with a mint and a glass of water. I'm telling you right there.
And white gloves.
But no, make sure y'all follow him at Howie Bizzell on IG. Support him. Howie, I thank you. Be safe. Be well during the pandemic. Stay sharp, brother. I appreciate you,
man. All y'all stay safe. Love y'all. This was awesome. Always, Joey, anytime you want me to come do something, you already know, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Just tell me what it is, man. I got you, my brother. I love you for that, man.
You already know, man. Love you, too, man. Appreciate
you. You've been my new pandemic comedy friend. We really didn't really get to know each other until the pandemic.
Exactly. God is good.
God is good. You know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say, give it up for Carl Herrera. I mean Howie Bell, ladies and gentlemen, right now.
Oh God!
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Nah, I love you too. I'm gonna talk to you this week, man. Be safe, right. Brother.
No doubt, man.
Yo,
I don't know how to cut this shit off. So I'm just.
I got you right now. I'm gonna take care of it. Just pat the fro. Pat the fro. Just pat the fro. There you go. Right there. There you go. Right there. That is my guy. Oh, man. I'm telling you, some real ones in the game. That's a funny one right there. You know what
He's
I'm saying?
Crazy.
Yo.
I watched him on the other show. He had Trump in the back on the green screen. That shit was funny. He's stupid.
Well, I had to throw the Jay-Z on. Shout out to the production team. I got the ring light. This is the Afterthought podcast with the crew.